Welcome to Arkansas Cooks. This is your host, Mary Tweet, and I'm here to meet and eat with Arkansas cooks, and then I tell you all about it. Last week, we started our tour at Cash Restaurant downtown in the River Market, and this week, Chef Matt Cooper cooks up some amazing crab pasta. Don't go away, you're listening to Arkansas Cooks. Good afternoon. I am Mary Tweet, and you are listening to Arkansas Cooks. Cash Restaurant downtown in the River Market was the dream of Rush Harding and his son, Payne Harding. And the name that he has for it, I told you this last week, but it has a very personal meaning to him. And so I wanted to just say it again because I thought it was really nice. Their website, cashlittlerock.com, says that the area around the iconic Cache River, and that's spelled C-A-C-H-E, the same as the restaurant, on the Arkansas Delta is where Rush Harding was born and raised. The moniker also provides a nod to the dictionary definition of a cache as a place for strong, valuable possessions. I just thought that was really great. They really hope that people will come and create treasured memories that last a lifetime. So, like I said last week, I had an amazing tour of Cash Restaurant, and their executive chef, Chef Matt Cooper, was the one who strolled me around this beautiful place. This week, we go into the kitchen, and he makes me this amazing crab pasta, crab tagliani. I hope I'm saying that right. So here we go, down to the River Market to Cash Restaurant.
I can honestly say that all the people that work for me, this is what they want to do. I have chefs from the Northwest that went to school with me. I have chefs from Austin, Texas. I have chefs from New York. I have chefs that grew up here, went away, and came back. You know, everybody in this kitchen and in this restaurant, they really want to be here. You know, even the ones that are just starting out. You know, they're really passionate about what they do, and they're all really good hard workers. And we appreciate everything they've done for us so far. So
now you went to school out in Oregon, and right. I'm a huge fan of Portland. We go to that's where we go to vacation every year. We go to Sisters close to Bend, and I'm crazy about that kind of Pacific Northwest. Their food is always really great, and they do lots of local farming there, so there's a lot of local food. And it sounds like that's exactly, I mean, it's probably what you learned in Portland.
No, absolutely. But I mean, I've been cooking for about 12 or 13 years before I even went to school. And I grew up in a long family of food technologists, so science of food has always been a part of my life. But when we moved out there, of course, the farm-to-table thing took a whole new more meaning for me. I trained under some really amazing chefs over there that worked directly under Alice Waters and the whole farm-to-table and all that sustainability. We would actually go, I was a sous chef at one of the restaurants, Aquariva on the Southwest Waterfront, and I would go three times a week to Sauvies Island and get on the tractor with the farmers and go pick exactly what I wanted to serve and then bring it back. So it was a really fun dynamic. We're not there yet. We're getting really close.
We are.
Yeah,
I'm so
really close.
Proud of the people that are. Matter of fact, I'm interviewing a chef. I mean, I'm interviewing a farmer in a couple weeks from. She has a goat farm. Kate, do you know Kate from? It's a goat farm.
Where anyway, is it?
I don't know yet. It's out by Sherwood, I think.
Okay.
It's out in Jacksonville.
Okay.
But
I know that
goat ropers.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And so I'm excited about that. And I think, you know, I really do respect what the chefs are doing in Central Arkansas and really up in Northwest Arkansas as well. Lots of people are dedicated.
Rob up there and Ed Tuscan Trotter is a really great chef. And I know a lot of those other guys, especially Matt McClure.
Yeah.
And they're just
lots of farm to table.
Yeah,
stuff.
they're really getting involved. And what that's doing is providing a healthier product for us and our parents and our children
exactly.
And this whole generations. And you know, we just really we're having a good time. We're busy, but we're having a great time.
So, and I also heard you have, and I'm a huge fan of bread pudding. I heard you have like an amazing white chocolate bread pudding.
We do. My executive sous chef Andre.
We do.
Yeah, my executive sous chef Andre Ferguson and I, when we worked at Chenal Country Club together, and we've kind of been inseparable. After that, he's an amazing gentleman. He's from He's from up north as well on the East Coast, and he makes a good bread pudding. He really does. In fact, we don't let anybody else do him. He's a busy guy, but he makes the bread pudding, so we make sure that gets done right. We have a pastry chef. We have a really amazing young pastry chef. Her name is Jessica Whitfield. She's just awesome, and she just graduated not too long ago from Pulaski Tech. She was my pastry chef. I kind of took her under my wing and let her kind of do whatever she wanted to do when I was the executive chef of Lulav, and she kind of, you know, made herself shine here and moved up and has done a really good job.
Yeah, I think that is fantastic. It's so nice to see people that are really excited about cooking and excited about, you know, food and, like, are creative with it. You know, the other thing I wanted to tell you is some people know that I'm coming to, you know, they'll ask me, where are you going? And every time I mention Cash, doesn't matter what their age, you know, my husband, my mom, who's 82, the kids that I see at UAMS or whatever, they all say, oh, my God, I went to Cash. It was great. I hear that a lot, and that's not what I always hear from people.
Oh, that's
but
good.
I've heard great comments with all, you know, people that have all sorts of different tastes. Mm-hmm. So I was really impressed. You know, my mom's more of, you know, kind of a down-home cook, and
right.
She has a great, you know, she likes a lot of different foods, but, you know, she's also very economical. And, she, you know, so she was like, we had lunch there. It was fabulous. I got, you know, my plate was beautiful. The bread pudding was gorgeous. I mean, so lots and lots of comments like that.
Well, that's good. And that's what, you know, that's kind of what we try to do is I want anyone to be able to come in here and think they're going to have an amazing meal and an amazing experience no matter, you know, what level you're at. Absolutely.
Great.
Now, you can come in here and for our bistro lunch, you can get a price comparison with anything else around.
That's what I heard.
You know, and then, you know, at nighttime, you can come in and get, you know, it's really fair. You know, like I've said on the news, like I've said to other people at events that we do, is we bring in the best quality products we can. And we're trying not to mark them up to what we should, because we want people to be healthy. We want to show that we're about the food, and we're about the experience and stuff like that. I mean, everybody wants to make money, but we really want people to enjoy this experience. And and we as chefs, being as passionate as we are, we want to work with ingredients that we feel proud about being around and eating. You know, I wouldn't cook anything in this restaurant that I wouldn't cook for my daughter, who's in here actually prepping with me sometimes. She actually helped me make the strawberry watermelon soup that we made the other day. That's the dynamic that has to happen when you're a chef and you want to see your family. They got to be around all the time.
And also, I do know this, as an executive chef, it's not just the chefs, but you're looking at front of the house, you're looking at the wine list. So I know you have a sommelier here. I know you have an amazing, and that's the other thing I heard, was that you have an incredible professional staff.
Yeah, we really do. I mean, I'm technically the general manager too, so I wear the two hats. But we have Jeffrey Yant, who's an amazing sommelier, and I worked with him at Lulav, and we work really well together. He knows my style. He knows the way that I write menus, so he can very easily pair anything. He actually won the Iron Sommelier competition last year. It was funny because I won the Iron Chef, I think, in 2012 of Arkansas, and then he won that. So it was kind of neat. For a while, we had two Iron whatever, so that was
Iron whatever.
Iron whatevers. Well, we just like going out and
Iron
having,
people.
Yeah, we like going out and having fun, you know. And then, you know, the next year, you know, someone else gets it, and you still have a great time. The chefs are really, in this city, are really amazing to compete with. We do all those competitions and things like that.
There is a real camaraderie though amongst all the chefs that I've met before. I mean, they're really, I like this guy, I go here, and I try and only do local restaurants, and that's where I see chefs at other local chefs' restaurants.
Right, absolutely. And I mean, we do support each other all the time. You know, when if I have a chef come into my restaurant, we take good care of them because we know what they go through on a daily basis.
Exactly.
You know, and it's the same thing when you walk in. You know, it's kind of nice. And I guess that's just kind of what we've been passionate about lately, and trying to just keep moving forward with a positive attitude and keep creating these ingredients and things like that. The summer's coming up, so we're going to be getting amazing produce in.
Is that your favorite?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I was technically, I know it's, you know, it's a slander, but I was technically a vegetarian and a vegan when I lived in Portland for quite some time, because the produce was so amazing. I mean, the meat was amazing, but the produce was absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
Now, we source a lot of, when we can't get it, I do source a lot of organic things from Oregon. So I bring in chanterelles, lobster mushrooms, oysters, corals. You know, I bring in Oregon razor clams. Don't tell the people in Oregon. They get mad. I can't get Marion berries yet. They won't let me have them. No one will do it. But
yeah.
I'm hoping. hoping soon I can get them. It's
the place I stay. They have Marion Berry biscuits.
Oh,
holy
yeah.
cow!
Oh my god! Yeah, no, I think my wife's gonna kill me if I don't get her Marion Berries within the next year or so.
So do you want to go in and see what they're cooking and see if, or do you want to make something for us?
Yeah, I think I can do that.
I think you can.
Let's see what we got.
Okay. No pressure.
Right now none at all. Right now we're just getting ready for our dinner service, and we got Ethan here. He works the grill with me.
Hey, Ethan, what's up? Nice to meet you. Mary Tweet.
Mary Tweet. Are
you ready?
Yeah.
Is this a microphone?
No, it's just a radar. It's a
A Geiger counter.
It's a Geiger counter. It's exactly
can we
what.
Check our tuna out?
Sure. Okay,
I'm gonna since it's right here and we're at the pasta station, what we're gonna do is I'm gonna do the crab tagliolini pasta that we talked about.
Yeah. I love you have like a salt and a pepper pig right here.
I love those pigs because it's kind of against the, it goes with the tradition that we kind of the view. That was the fun thing about.
For those of you who don't know what a pig is, it's a salt and pepper container that stands on its end, but it's facing out so you can put your fingers in there and pinch it. Get a pinch. So we got a hot pan
We talk about really classic and, you know, and we always just start out with plenty of garlic and shallots.
Say that again now, you've got...
I said we always start out with just plenty of garlic and shallots. And you got a hot pan, always hot oil. And we wait till those start to sweat a little bit. I'm sure Cameron would love to do this for you, but I'll go ahead and do it.
Oh, okay, good. Thanks. Sorry, Cameron.
Ooh. And then a nice heaping of crab. And then what that does is that we put it in right when the garlic and shallots start to sweat a little bit because it releases some of that shellfish flavor that we want.
All right. We have our shellfish stock ready? Well, you got, I mean, this is a pretty expansive prep station.
We do. I mean, it's the way that the kitchen was designed, we had to be really careful about how we set it up because basically all the sides and all the pastas and everything have to come from one side of the island and then move over to get finished to the other side before it goes out to our guests. So now once this crab and shallots and garlic get sweated a little bit, we take two things I very love. Anytime I do anything with seafood, you have to do fennel or anise goes with it. So we do a really healthy portion of Pernod and white wine.
Oh, yeah. Now we're on fire.
Thanks, sir. And, of course, it's shellfish, so we're going to use shellfish stock here in a moment. And we already start seasoning it at this point a little bit, and we want to burn all that alcohol off and just relieve and have left what we need, which is basically the sugars.
Woo, that smells fabulous. So you've got crab, you've got garlic, you've got shallots, and then you've got some wine and some...
Pernod, which is an anise-flavored liqueur.
Anise-flavored liqueur, and you That's can right. smell that anise. And even if you don't like garlic, I mean, even if you don't like anise, there's something so different about that than like a licorice. The anise is so different.
Absolutely. All it does is just really accentuate the natural flavor of the fish. And that's what I consider classic Tuscan, you know, seafood and fennel just is absolutely amazing. Now, what really brings out this dish is we have Calabrian chilies, which is from the Calabria region of Italy. They're really sweet, and they're a little bit spicy. I compare them to what Tabasco would take and taste like in a chili.
Oh, okay.
So you can eat them whole. We go heavy on it, you know, and we try to, you know, if people don't like that, we try to tell them it's a little bit spicy.
And it's pretty, too, because you've got that beautiful white crab, and then you've got this pretty red pepper in there, and those, that's got to be some...
That's tarragon. We go really heavy on tarragon, so we go again with that.
Whew. Nice. And that's your tomato.
Yep, this is a tomato fondue. We just do enough. We just want enough to coat the pasta.
You don't want a lot.
No. We want the pasta to shine. That's what it's about. Then we go with a little bit of shellfish stock.
So you're basically making your entire sauce from scratch.
Oh, absolutely. Everything that we make here is from scratch. Some things are pre-made, like if we did a risotto, of course we would parblanch it and bring it ready for service so that we could release the starches. But yes, absolutely, everything's made from scratch.
That is a beautiful sauce, too, because you've got so much color in there. And
it really is nice. I mean, it's definitely one of my favorite sauces that there is. And, of course, we taste everything. We don't want anything going out.
So that's why the whole stock of plastic spoons. Thank you. Okay. Oh my god.
I mean, really classic.
That tomato flavor is really incredible.
Yeah, there you go. And of course, we're just going to reduce that down until it gets exactly where we want it. We want to see what I say, bubbles on bubbles. Uh-huh. And then we'll put the pasta
now,
in.
Now, what do you mean bubbles on bubbles? What do you
bubbles
mean
on bubbles on bubbles is when the entire pan is bubbling throughout.
Okay.
So you've got bubbles.
It's about exactly where you are.
Bubbles on bubbles. It means the sauce is reduced down enough to where we can coat the pasta just as much as we want to, and that's it.
Wow.
Okay, so we've added pasta, and that we par blanched just a little bit. It's going to soak up that flavor. And we're going to wait until this pan is almost dry, and then we're going to kill it with butter.
Ooh, another one of my favorite ingredients. Nice.
And then once we get that in, we just slowly get it in there and whisk it in until it produces this really beautiful velvety sauce that just coats the pasta. You can see there's not a lot of extra sauce in here.
Yeah.
It's just the pasta and the crab.
And it's almost like the pasta is almost like it's expanded.
Yeah, it expands, and then it just what the butter does is it just basically coats everything and turns that sauce from a nice bright red to a beautiful little orange.
Yeah, really nice.
And then what that does is when we tasted the sauce a second ago, it was a little salty.
Right.
When we added the pasta, that's going to mute it out a little bit.
Because
everything's about balance, right? Can I have a bowl?
Oh, nice.
Oh, look at that. Magic. Miracles
bowl.
Of radio.
Voila. There is a bowl.
And then what we're going to, then of course, we're just going to plate it. And again, we're not going to muck it up with anything. We'll do a nice little swirl on it.
Oh, really pretty.
Make sure the sauce, all that crab and those chilies go on right at the end.
Yeah, nice.
And then, of course, when we're
bit
done,
of cheese.
Yeah, we're going to plate a nice little wipe so the people up front don't have to work a little extra hard. And then we've got fresh grated Parmesan Reggiano.
Oh, beautiful.
We go right on top, a nice heaping handful.
Man, that is some fine grated
And then we finish with the fresh fennel.
Oh, nice.
And then...
All right.
And that's
beautiful.
It.
That's gorgeous. We'll take it up front.
All right.
Get out of these guys' way. You guys are all working way too hard.
Thank you.
Great.
So
beautiful.
When everything comes up to the expo line, you know, the chef, normally Chef Payne or I are on the expo line because that's the final defense for the customers.
Right.
And we're tasting things as well. I like to be back in the kitchen as much as possible, but it's kind of essential that I'm up here as well. But Chef Payne is normally on the expo making sure everything's right and the way that he and I want it. And we usually garnish with a little bit of fleur de sel or some type of sea salt. This one we actually do a fleur de sel, which we have, and just a little bit,
yeah,
just to kind of heighten it.
Great.
And then now you can try it.
All right.
I can't eat it, of course, because I'm celiac and the gluten, but we do offer gluten-free options.
Do you really? What would a gluten-free option for this be?
We have a gluten-free pasta.
Oh, holy cow. That is amazing.
Thank you. That's just a classic recipe that I've been working with for years and years. It never fails, and it's always just it's just really nice.
What? You can taste that fennel. You can taste that, you know, anise flavor. What a beautiful flavor. But the tomato in that is so fabulous.
Thank you.
And it doesn't have a strong, like, seafood taste. Like you said, it really highlights that crab.
No, it's really subtle.
Oh, it's nice.
I mean, it's all about the subtleties. Just like with the pork shank, you know, when you have the polenta, so that's that really creamy. We crisp it up a little bit. We do a fennel salad, which is really just shaved fennel with extra virgin olive oil and lemon. It's like a vinaigrette. And then we do the braised pork shank. We do it really low and slow, so, and with lots of parsnips, which gives it that sweetness and thyme. We just keep heavy on herbs. We do it for a very long time on a low heat so that it literally just falls off the bone. And then we take all that liquid that we braise it in and we reduce it down by about 90% and pour it over the shank. And then we do a watermelon mostarda on top, which is like a sweet chutney with the addition of mustard seeds. It's a Tuscan condiment that just that tart and savory and creamy and a little bit of that acid really create a beautiful balance on the plate.
Now, what would you pair this with as far as wine goes?
Jeff, this is where Jeff and I differ.
Okay.
Don't listen, Jeff. I like contrast, and he likes comparisons. And sometimes he goes back and forth, too. I would go with a nice red for this, a subtle red,
yeah,
like
a
Pinot,
yeah,
because it's going to have some floral notations that will kind of accent the subtleties in the herbs.
Mm-hmm.
So like an Oregon Pinot would go great with this. But then, of course, Jeff would definitely do a white. He would definitely do some type of... I would have to say a Sauv Blanc or something like that to really cleanse the palate so that you could taste everything again. And I think those would be the best things. Or say definitely a Sauv Blanc or something like that.
Now you also have a full bar, so you have a beautiful selection of wine. You also have a full bar, and you, like I said, you have like this really amazing staff all the way around.
What's amazing about our bar? It differentiates us from probably everyone else is that I met, it's kind of funny, this is what I love about Little Rock. I went with my wife to a little house in Hillcrest where we used to live, and there was a little art thing going on with local artists and stuff like that, probably about 8 people. And there was a very nice lady, and she ended up being one of my good friends. And she does her own simple syrups, and they make them. Her name's Emily Lawson from Pink House Alchemy, and she makes all of it at University of Arkansas in Fayetteville.
I saw her bottles over there.
Yeah, and so we brought her in, and her and our head bartender Kiva Smith worked together diligently to create a craft cocktail menu with all those local ingredients. So
and her simple syrups.
That's right.
Wow.
So all of our signature cocktails, you know, we make with there, and then luckily I get the benefits of that, and I get to sell them at the herb store too, being the only place in town
right
that
store.
We do. Yeah, right next door. So a lot of the spices, we source all the spices from the herb store next door because we want to, again, that's supporting my business, but also it allows me to have the opportunity of all that versatility in my kitchen, because a lot of those ingredients I can't get, and if I can, it's 2 to 3 weeks. When instead now I can walk right next door, because I have over 500 different herbs, spices, and teas right next door.
That's a whole other show for me, you know, Matthew. So how did you get in the herb business?
Well, when I was in Portland, I was a sous chef during the day on the Southwest waterfront. And if you've been to Portland, the price for a house is probably about 6 times what it is here. So we had a little apartment and things like that. And a way for myself to get closer to the farmers in Oregon, I was the manager of a local food co-op, herb store, and produce market there, probably about 9 blocks from my house. And I ran that for about 3 years. And we had about 2,000 herbs, spices, and teas.
Wow.
Plus, we used all the local produce. All the local produce came there. So when it was apple season, we had 40 different types of apples. We had, 20 different types of citrus. The honeydew melons and the thing that are grown in the volcanic ash grounds of in Oregon.
I forgot.
Yeah, and so I mean that's where a lot of that passion came from, and I've been wanting Little Rock to have that since I've been back, and the opportunity just really presented itself when they were building the restaurant, because they didn't give us room for an office, so we took the retail bay next door, but we weren't going to put an office in the front. We wanted to reinvigorate downtown Little Rock more, so we did that, and we actually share the space with some really good dear friends of mine, the Freckled Frog, who's an established business. They've been an established business. We're friends when I lived there before, and it works really well together. They represent over 30 artists, from the state, and for everything from candles to lotions to necklaces to the t-shirts, the native shirts and things like that. And then we have 400 different herbs, spices, and teas from all over the world, all sustainable and organic and in bulk.
So you can buy it in bulk. You can buy a tablespoon, or you can buy
as little or
a jar.
As much as you want.
Right.
The price difference is about 75-60% to anywhere else. It's just, it's very affordable. And we're trying to, we're really just trying to make people healthier.
That's very, very cool. So if they like the spices you're using here, you can say they're next door.
Absolutely, yeah. It kind of works. It works good.
Nice. Wow. So Cash Restaurant in the heart, really is the heart of the river... the whole River Market District, really. It's very nice.
We're trying to be. Now, of course, we partner together with all the restaurants down here, and we love each other, and it's such a mutual beneficial relationship. I heard people talking about, what's going to happen when Cash opens? Nothing's going to happen. We all just help each other. Yeah, we just all help each other. It's more. We bring more, they bring more, and we work together. We work with the Capitol back and forth and several local businesses, and it's just so mutually beneficial.
Now, I'm interested. What are you going to do during the big festival down here, Memorial Day, when they do River Fest?
We're going to be open.
You are?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're going to be open. For regular dinner service, we're not going to do anything special. We're just going to be here, be ready, and it's time to hit the ground running.
Wow. No. I hope it's great. No. It's going to be a nice alternative to a corn dog, right?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Now, our bistro lunch is very comparable to most of the other lunch places, so you'll have an amazing time. You sit out on our patio, enjoy a cocktail while you're waiting to see a show or whatever you'd like to do.
Ooh, you'll probably have some views of the stages, maybe.
Yes, we will. Yes. Oh, don't say that.
Don't say that.
Yes. Our balcony does have a view of one of the stages.
Okay, yes, we won't say that. So Matthew Cooper here at Cash Restaurant. Thank you, Matthew.
No problem. Anytime.
Fantastic.
I appreciate it.
We're back. I'm Mary Tweed, and this is Arkansas Cooks. You can find out more about Cash Restaurant at their website, cashlittlerock.com, or you can go to my website, arkansascooks.com, and I'll have that information there as well. If you're interested in writing me, you can do that at mary@arkansascooks.com. I love to hear from you folks. The information I get is always fantastic. Well, that's all the time we have today for Arkansas Cooks. Thank you so much for tuning in. I want to thank Matt Cooper and all the folks at Cash Restaurant. Also, thanks to Travis Hill. He makes me sound so good. This is Mary Tweet reminding all you Arkansas cooks, life is way too short to eat bad food. So only eat good food and eat it with great people, people that you love. It'll taste so much better.